One passage of scripture that has been grossly misunderstood through the years and has been the means, not the scripture itself, but the fact that it has been misunderstood and misapplied and misinterpreted, has added to much confusion in the land concerning salvation. I'd like for you to turn with me if you have your Bible handy. If not, I feel sure that this verse is familiar enough until you would be able almost to quote it with me today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Very, very familiar scripture. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now here is a part of the message that Jesus Christ gave on the mountain, known in the scripture as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, that is a very, very familiar scripture, and this particular part of that sermon has been grossly misunderstood. Now, it's certainly true that much of the Sermon on the Mount has been misunderstood, in that people have felt that this is the way we get saved, by the various aspects, the various rules and regulations that's found in the Sermon on the Mount. One of the things that people will say today, and many will tell me and have told me, I live by the golden rule. That's in the preceding verse. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Many have said, well, now, I live by the golden rule. Now, you know better than that, and I know better than that. And even if you did live by the golden rule, even if you did do everything that you had ever done just exactly by that rule, you had done always unto others as you would have them to do unto you, you still would not be saved, because by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's made very clear in other portions of the scripture. And the Bible does not give us many messages about salvation. The Bible gives us one clear-cut message, and it is described for us in many different ways. But there is one clear, plain message of redemption in the Bible, and that message is simply that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, became the Son of Man to take upon Himself the form of man, being born of a virgin, and that by coming to earth and by being born of a virgin, He was in a position as a perfect man to pay the penalty for the human race. And He did that. He paid the penalty. He satisfied the demands of a holy God by dying on the cross to save us from our sins. And that His blood can make an atonement for our sins. By trusting Him, by receiving His finished work by faith, we can be born again. Now that's the message of the Bible. That's the message of redemption. And anything that seems to be contrary to that certainly is not contrary to what the Bible teaches concerning salvation. Now many have taken this passage that we read as a text today. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And then on to say in verse 14, strait is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. There have been those who have gathered from these scriptures and have even preached it, that the way to get to heaven is to walk a straight path. The way to get to heaven is to walk a narrow way and to struggle until eventually you can see the lights of home. The way to go to hell, on the other hand, is to drink and carouse and gamble and curse and do all of the wicked things and walk the broad road and live in sin, and thereby you would drop eventually into hell. But now let me call your attention to a passage of Scripture that is not used near as much as it ought to be. John 3:16 is used often. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But John 3:18 is an important, very important verse, and it ought to be used more than it is. And it reads thusly, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So the Bible is very clear that we do not get to heaven by struggling up a narrow way. We are not saved by the things that we do or the things that we do not do. We're saved purely by God's grace. And we do not go to an eternal hell because we have been drunkards or gamblers or liars. Now you saw that in verse 18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned." We're not under the condemnation because we believe on him. "He that believeth not is condemned already," not because he was a drunkard, not because he was a liar, not because he stole something, but because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, if we look at our scripture back in Matthew very carefully, we'll find that this is likewise taught here in this scripture. "Enter in at the straight gate." And then in verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting." Now you'll see the clarity of it if you'll listen closely. And if you'll read closely, there is a gate involved here as well as a way. You see, you do not go to heaven because you struggle a narrow way. You go to heaven because you pass through the narrow gate. Now, let me say that again. Though it might sound repetitious, yet there has been so much confusion about it, let me say it again. And this scripture is clear that we do not go to heaven because we go up a narrow way. That is merely the result of having passed through the straight or the narrow gate. Now, passing through a gate is instantaneous, such as passing through a door or an entranceway to a room. That is instantaneous. We're on one side. We make the one step, and then we're on the other side. We pass through the gate. That, in turn, puts us on the way that leads to life everlasting. Now, there can be no question that Jesus is this gate. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the door." Also in John, he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." So Jesus himself then is this door through which we pass. We come trusting him as our Savior, depending totally and completely upon him to forgive our sins and to give us eternal life in Jesus Christ. And then we have passed through this gate. Now, this gate also typifies the born-again experience. The only way we can have the born-again experience is by trusting Jesus Christ. That's all. There's no other way. You cannot be born again by struggling in the Christian life. And much religion today is based upon the premise that if I'll just live better most of the time than I live bad, that I'll finally make it in. I've used the illustration a number of times, and certainly I believe it's true. I've used the illustration a number of times that people are going to be, many of them, in hell because they believed in a Santa Claus God. That's right. Instead of recognizing God for what he really is, they believed God was like Santa Claus was when they were a child. They were told that there was a Santa Claus, and they were told that if they did not do good during the month of December, if they were not good children, that Santa Claus would not bring them anything. And of course, they didn't do good. Children can't do good. Not all the time, because they're in a body of flesh, and the nature of children is to disobey And so they can't do good all of the time. And yet, when Christmas came, they received something anyway. You think back on your own life, and you'll know that's the truth. You were told that, many of you, that there was a Santa Claus, and you were told that if you did not behave yourself, he would not bring you something for Christmas. You did not behave yourself. Christmas Day came, and you received a gift or several gifts anyway. Now, a lot of people think of God that way. They think that when we preachers tell them they must be good, they must not drink, they must not lie, they must not cheat, they must not steal, they must be faithful, they must not commit murder, they must not commit adultery, and we preach about these things, they think, well, you know, that's just God trying to keep us straight, and even though we're not very good, eventually God is like Santa Claus, and he'll let us go to heaven anyway. But that is not what the Bible teaches. You see, the Bible does not teach that we get to heaven by doing good. The Bible teaches that we get to heaven by being born again, by being born into the family of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, this scripture that has been misinterpreted, that has been misunderstood, is very clear on its own subject, and that is that the gate must be passed through before one can walk on the way. Before you can act like a Christian, before you can walk the road of a Christian, before you can live the Christian life, before you can even begin to walk on the way that leads to life everlasting, you must first of all pass through the gate. Now, I'm talking to many church members today. I'm sure I'm talking to many, many church members. You just do not broadcast the gospel as we do, even though it's not a worldwide ministry, even though it's not an extensive ministry as some are. We speak to hundreds, perhaps thousands of people every week on this broadcast. And I'm sure there's some who are depending upon your good life, the fact that you have joined the church, the fact that you have been baptized or confirmed, or the fact that you have gone through certain religious ordinances, or because you have been affiliated with some particular religious group, and you have tried so hard to live good and to walk the narrow way that eventually you will make it into the kingdom of God. But let's be absolutely sure about this thing now. You are not walking on the narrow way until you have been born again, until you have passed through the finished work of Jesus Christ, Jesus as the door. Then you're walking the narrow way, and it is a narrow way. A person who has been saved, a person who has received the new birth, is a person who is walking the narrow way. And it is a life with restrictions in it. Not in order to stay there, not in order to stay on the narrow way, but simply because it is a narrow way. And certainly it is a way that has some problems along the way, but it is the way that eventually leads to life everlasting. The only way you can walk on this way is to be, first of all, born into the family of God and pass through the gate. Now, that is an instantaneous thing. That is, you are on the outside. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You step toward Him by faith, and you receive Him as your Lord and your Savior, confessing your sin, acknowledging your need of Him, then you are on the way that leads to life everlasting. There is another thought here in these scriptures that I think we ought to mention, and that is, there is another gate mentioned here. It says, "For broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." In verse 13, "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction." So, just as there is a gate that opens, and you can walk through and place you yourself, as well, actually God does the placing, but as you walk through this born-again experience, as you trust Jesus, you're on the narrow way, in like manner, you have passed through a gate that has brought you to the broad way. Now, you are already on the Broadway if you're not saved. Just as the new birth places you on the narrow way, your physical birth placed you on the Broadway. Now, this is very plain, very, very clearly taught in Scripture, that you are born with the nature of sin. You're born in sin. It is not a matter that you are going to be condemned. You are condemned already. Back to our verse in John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. It's not a matter of you're going to be lost when you die. It is not a matter of you're going to be without God when you die. It is a matter of right now. You are already condemned. You're already under the condemnation of God because you are already on the broad way. Now, you may not indulge in the many sins of the broad way. The broad way has many sins along it. And you may not indulge in all of these. You may be even better than some of the people walking the narrow way. You may be even more honest than some of them seem to be. You may be even more pure than some of them seem to be. But if you have not been born again, if you have not entered the straight gate, you definitely have entered the wide gate, and you are definitely on the broad way that leads to destruction. So you may ask the question, what must I do to be lost? Just keep going like you are. Do nothing about your soul. Just continue to move in the same way that you're going, though it be a life of religion. Some of you live a very religious life. Some of you are very, very faithful to your religious practices. Some of you have high morals. My, I find sometimes people who are not saved with a more high moral standard than others who are actually saved. Now, background has a lot to do with that. Your bringing up, the family into which you were born, the society in which you were born, has a great deal to do with your moral code. But your moral code is not what saves you, my friend. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves you. And some of you may be marvelous people, wonderful, religious people, great people in the eyes of the world. But if you have not passed through this narrow gate, which is the born-again experience, if you have not relied totally and completely upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, you are walking the broad road, and the broad road leads to destruction. Whether you're indulging in the many sins along the way or not, whether you're carousing and dancing and drinking and doing all of the things and lying and cheating, all of the things that go on as men live and walk the broad way, whether you do these things or not, you are still on the broad way, and your life is still one that is filled with following the devil's plan and the devil's program for you. And my dear friend, you will eventually wind up in the regions of the damned. But bless the Lord today, and happy am I to be able to tell you, you do not have to continue down the broad road. You can turn about face. You can trust Jesus as your Savior, and you can be saved by His marvelous grace right now. It's this simple. Repent of your sins. Acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you have not been saved, and then say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. And you can and will be saved by God's marvelous grace. If there's any way that we can be of help to you, be sure to feel free to write and ask for tracts or literature or help in finding Christ as your Savior.